Church, would you pray with me?
God, we thank you for gathering us once again this morning as your people. Lord, we thank you for your word and your love, which endures forever. We ask that your Holy Spirit would speak powerfully through your word and speak to each one of us. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be continuing through our sermon series, Psalms for Life. Just a few more weeks left until we finish up this series. But we've encountered some powerful prayers and praises and petitions for all the ups and downs of life. And today's psalm is Psalm 136. So I invite you to turn your Bibles if you want to follow along. But this psalm celebrates that through everything in life, God is good and his love is always present. And for that, we can always praise him and give thanks. Psalm 136 is really an amazing psalm, and the most interesting thing and notable thing about this psalm is the refrain that repeats after every line, his love endures forever. We have 26 verses in this psalm, and each one repeats the phrase, his love endures forever, 26 times. Isn't that a little bit of overkill? Okay, some of you, okay. Good job. No, it's not. But hypothetically, couldn't the psalmist just have put, you know, all those phrases and that, then at the end just insert his love endures forever at the very end? Let's just sing it one time, not 26 times. Some of you, you get wound up if a chorus repeats twice in one song. You're like, oh gosh, I got to sing that again? You know? Let me stretch you a little bit gently. Repetition is good for us. Now, these are not the points in my sermon, but I'm going to give you just a quick bonus 3 points about repetition, especially when it comes to worship and why it's a good thing. First point is repetition forms us. It forms us. Like a runner who's running intervals or a weightlifter who's training. I mean, can you imagine going to the gym and say, oh, I'm so excited to get fit today. You get on the bench press and you just lift it up. Ah, okay, that's good. Whoo, really accomplished what I came in for today. But that's kind of what we do with worship. We say, you know, his love endures forever. Okay, got it. Got it, Lord. You're good. But the one time isn't sufficient. It's not sufficient. As in neuroscience, what we repeatedly think about shapes our brains and therefore our lives. And repeating and singing the songs of the faith in the scriptures, and yes, even choruses, form us and shape us. And this repetition can move things from our head to our hearts and from our hearts to our lives. Repeating his love endures forever 26 times in one song may be exactly how God wants to get into the core of our being his great love for us. A second reason why repetition is important is because it's poetic. In this psalm's poetic and liturgical form allows God's love to permeate every praise and every thanksgiving. Every praise that's listed in this psalm expands our understanding of God's amazing love. Every verse gives new meaning to the next time we sing or chant the chorus. The vision of God's love keeps expanding throughout the entire psalm so that each time you sing it again, you sing it with new understanding and expanded meaning. That's poetry. That's how it works. And finally, one last point on this is that repetition helps us properly appreciate the infinite and inexhaustible character of God. In the book of Revelation, we hear about the four living creatures. It says, day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Friends, we can never exhaust the infinite beauty, truth, love, and glory of our God. Amen. Amen. That was not my sermon, but I wanted to talk about that because that is the most notable thing about the psalm. But I want to highlight three other things about this psalm. So here's my actual sermon. Number one, everything God does is good. This psalm tells us that everything God does is good. It begins by saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God is completely good. And this is such good news for us because there's so much in our world that is not good, that causes us pain, that is broken, that we see all the remnants of the curse around us. But God is pure goodness. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "Let us thank him that we have seen, proved, and tasted that he is good. He is good beyond all others. Indeed, he alone is good in the highest sense. He is the source of good, the good of all good, the sustainer of good, the perfecter of good, and the rewarder of good." The psalm helps us see that God is the source of everything that is good in our world and in our lives. This is what the Apostle James is getting at, I think, in James 1, 16 through 17. It says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows." I think that's interesting, the connection there between deceit, don't be deceived, every good and perfect gift comes from above. We can so easily forget that everything that we get from God that's good, it comes from him. We can think we got it. We can think the good things in our lives maybe come from our own ability. We can think it can come from our hard work. We can think it can come from our own gifts, our skills, our intelligence, the money we make. No, it all comes from God. Don't be deceived. Everything good you have is from him. It's from him. It's not from you. It's not from anybody else. It ultimately, the source of all that is good traces all the way back to God. All that we are, who we are, the ability and the energy that we have in our bodies, all of that comes from God. So when we take time to count our blessings, it increases our understanding of how good our God is. You can't just say it one time. And it helps us. This helps us navigate life with gratitude and confidence in God. It was the old hymn, "Count Your Blessings." Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. "Count Your Blessings." Come on. Okay, thank God. That's a blessing. It says this, "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Don't forget to count your blessings and give praise and thanks to our God, who is the source of all that is good. And not only when we count our blessings, not only do we see his goodness, we also see his great love for us. That's my second point, is that everything good God does is an expression of his love. That's the fundamental thing behind all of his goodness, is his love for all of us. This phrase, "his love endures forever," is repeated throughout, showing that it is God's love that undergirds everything he does. Now, in the NIV translation, it does not have the word "for" or the word "because" in front of "his love endures forever," although it's there in the Hebrew. As one commentator noted, this word is essential, actually, to the meaning of the psalm. Give thanks to the Lord because his love endures forever. He is good because his love endures forever. He brought us through the waters. He saved us from the enemy because his love endures forever. He does all of this. He creates the world. He redeems us. He provides for us because he loves us. And his love is eternal. The word "love" here is the Hebrew word hesed. It's a very rich and nuanced word. It's sometimes translated loving kindness or mercy or loyalty. It can describe God's faithfulness to his covenant, his loyalty to keep his covenant to us. The scholar John Goldingay translates it as the word commitment. And he says it is used in two connections. When someone makes an act of commitment for which there is no reason in terms of prior relationship, and when someone keeps their commitment when they might be expected to abandon it. For example, because the other person has done so. It is the Hebrew equivalent to the Greek agape. You know, I think about the love I have for my kids. I am committed to them, period. And I would say all my actions show this, whether it's the nice and cuddly things, like when you snuggle them in bed before they go to bed, or when I'm reprimanding them or disciplining them because they're going crazy, or whether I'm cooking them food or taking them to school or playing soccer in the backyard or teaching them something new, whatever it is, all those actions show that I'm committed to them and that I love them. In the same way, all of God's actions toward us shows us he is committed to you. He loves you. He is committed to saving you and redeeming you, period. It is who he is. All the ways that God relates to us is rooted in his love. You can call it loyalty. You can call it faithfulness. You can call it commitment. Sometimes it feels like mercy or grace. But at the end of it all, it is his love, hesed. And God's love, his hesed, is eternal. It never runs. What a great illustration Wendy and Peter gave. God's love that never runs out. It endures forever. The psalm here describes the creation of the world. Why did God make the world? Because of his love. Because of his enduring love for us. Why did God save his people Israel? Because of his hesed, his love. Why does God allow the seasons of the world to continue, to the sun to shine, the rain to fall? Because of his love. Why did God send Jesus to die and rise to give us eternal life? Because of his love. Why does God sustain us, forgive us, heal us, and lead us time and time again? Because of his love for you. He is a loving father committed to his children. And friends, because of all this, because of God's goodness, because of his amazing love, we ought to give him thanks and praise. That's my last point. In everything, we give thanks to God. Thanksgiving permeates this entire psalm. It begins, if you look, it begins and it ends with a call to give God thanks. The scholar C. Hassel Bullock said this call to give thanks should be understood before each line as each new wonder is rehearsed. You can imagine that give thanks throughout the entire psalm. For every wonder, for every expression of God's goodness and love, we're giving thanks. We're praising him. And it's not only just giving thanks. There's also an element here of confessing or testifying to God's goodness. That's what our church will be doing in a moment, when you're going to be hearing from different people in our church who are going to be publicly declaring, confessing, testifying to God's goodness and love and grace. So let's consider for a moment the kinds of things that we can praise God and testify to. We can probably boil down this psalm to four kinds of things that the psalm gives thanks for. The four areas are creation. The psalm marvels at God's wonders, the heavens, the earth, the water, the sun, the moon, and stars. Brothers and sisters, never forget that creation is God's act of love towards you. You know, when you grow up in, at least like I did, the public school system, and you're taught how, all of this, maybe came about by chance, and you learn, rightly so, how everything works. You know, you learn the water cycle, and you learn how all of this works together. There's an explanation, it seems like, for everything. But friends, our world is not a self-propagating machine. It is the gift, it comes from the gift and power of an all-powerful God, an all-loving God who made this for you. So when you're going to enjoy this nice day later today, and you see the trees, and you see the water, and you see the sky, remember how good God is. Remember how loving God is. Remember he made this for you, for us to enjoy. It is his gift. Let's not take our world for granted, but give thanks to God for it, for its beauty and majesty. The psalm also thanks God for redemption, highlighting the Exodus story, God leading them through the wilderness, establishing them in the land, and through particular battles as well. And in the new covenant, we never forget to give thanks to God for his ultimate act of redemption in sending Christ, for Christ's life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his return to restore all things. One of the ways that we do this is when we celebrate communion, we're remembering God's great act of redemption to redeem all of humankind. It's called the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. It's a great feast of thanksgiving, celebrating the ultimate act of redemption. The third category of thanksgiving in the psalm is what we might call special providence. This is God's special intervening into our lives, whether that's through answered prayer or miracles, things you can't explain other than God showing up and redeeming you and providing for you. How many are willing to testify they've seen God's goodness in special intervening ways in their lives? Come on, someone say hallelujah. God answers our prayers. He hears us. He sees us. He loves us. And this psalm recognizes God's people leading them through the wilderness and freeing them from their enemies. It shows them God's special care for his people. So we too, when we see God answer our prayers and provide for us, we give thanks for healing, for guidance, for provision. It all comes from God. And finally, the last category of thanksgiving in the psalm we'd call general providence. This is God's just general compassion and care and provision for the entire world. The psalm celebrates how God gives food to every creature. We know that God has compassion on all that he has made. Jesus said that God lets the sun shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is kind and good and loving to all of his creation. And for that, we give thanks. So you can think about these four things as you count your blessings, as you name them one by one. Think about creation, redemption, the special ways you've seen God answer your prayers and show up in your life, and his general goodness and kindness to all. Friends, all our lives, before, if that line that Peter and Wendy were doing could stretch out, imagine it stretching out before the foundation of the world. God has been good and loving the whole time. And he's good and loving now, and he will always be good and loving and kind. It is who he is. His love endures forever. So we do what the Apostle Paul said, is to rejoice always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Some of you are wondering, God, what is your will for my life? Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We are now going to practice this as we testify and give thanks to our God for his goodness and love that endures forever. We have prepared a faith covenant version of Psalm 136. So I'm going to invite all those who are participating in that to come take a seat in the choir risers. I'm going to be reading a few lines myself. I prepared one myself. The others I am reading submissions that were prepared by others. After each reader, they will end their praise by saying, "Give thanks to the Lord," and you will respond, "For his love endures forever." Okay, so you're gonna hear, "Give thanks to the Lord," and we're all gonna respond with what? "For his love endures forever." After the prayer, Gene Sharp's gonna lead us in a song of response as well. So let's confess and give thanks to our God.
Give thanks to God, for he is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Say the next part. Okay. Give thanks to the Lord.
I am so thankful for creation, the birds, the flowers, the grass, the trees, the mountains, many, many more beautiful things that he has given us in nature. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever.
To the one who fills his creation with the music and colors and movement of abundant life, who gives us both the constancy of the morning sunrise and who patiently unfurls the ever-changing wonder of the seasons, from the dazzling, sparkling snow to the sweet buds of spring, the swaying summer grasses to the brilliance of autumn leaves. Give thanks to the Lord.
The Lord is good and merciful, even when difficulties and challenges fill our days. Give thanks to the Lord.
For his love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, who sets the number of our days and walks with each one of us. Give thanks to the Lord.
I give thanks to the God who always hears my cries for mercy. Give thanks to the Lord. I praise God for being faithful even when we are not. Even when we choose our own ways over his, he continues to call us back to him. His grace meets us in our weakness, and his mercy is greater than our failures. Nothing can separate us from his love.
Give thanks to God.
I give thanks to the Lord for his never-ending love and forgiveness, neither of which I deserve. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever.
Praise him who forgives all our iniquities and covers all our shame. Give thanks to the Lord.
For his love endures forever.
Psalm 136, 12. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. This verse reflects my personal journey. I dipped my toe into the devil's den, but before the devil knew I was there, the Holy Spirit gave me a choice and guided me toward a different path. Give thanks to the Lord.
Again and again, O Lord, you have lifted me out of the pit and brought me to your firm foundation. You ask nothing of me and continue to guide me and love me. May I tell of your marvelous grace. Give thanks to the Lord.
Give thanks to the God who sent his Son to seek and save the lost, to give his life as a ransom for our sins, to rise again and give us eternal life and forever reconcile us to the Father. Give thanks to the Lord.
For his love.
Many years ago, I lost my husband and two living grandparents whom I helped care for within a time period of about 9 months. As I look back, I cannot praise God enough for his provision. He strengthened me so that I could cope. He also helped me through friends and family to be able to move on. I will be forever grateful for his faithfulness and his love. Yesterday, today, and all the days to come. God, give thanks to the Lord.
Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:11, no one can lay any foundation
other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Jesus has been the rock upon which we have been joined together in 59 years of marriage.
The cornerstone of the 18 homes where we raised our four children and have been blessed with 8 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren.
He's been the guide that has called us to 37 years of Christian vocation.
And by his word has given us the spiritual springs of living water and the bread of life that has resulted
in the blessing of a joyful and contented life together with our family and the body of Christ. Give thanks to the Lord.
For his love endures forever.
After years of longing to be known, cared for, and spiritually nourished, God provided a church for us where our hearts are drawn to worship him and where our little ones can learn about him from people who love God and them. Give thanks to the Lord.
God has given us a church that works to connect people to the abundant life that's available in Christ and to connect each of us with other believers in God's grace. And many of us indeed are growing in our walk with Christ and enjoying the fellowship of other believers. Give thanks to the Lord.
I was recently asked to write a training on child development and protection, and I was overwhelmed. I didn't know how to organize all the ideas into only a few lessons, so I went to God asking for help and wisdom, and he answered my prayer. I praise God because he gives creativity to those who are floundering. Give thanks to the Lord.
Praise God.
Give thanks to the God who provides all our needs. Give thanks to the Lord.
His love.
Praise to our God who continues to walk with us through difficult times. He never fails to be present in the pain. Give thanks to the Lord.
His love.
All my life, God has been faithful. Through every season, his goodness has been a constant, even when I couldn't see it for myself in the moment. Looking back, his goodness was woven through it all, carrying me, providing for me, and reminding me that I have never walked alone. Give thanks to the Lord.
I may not make through.
Reading for Susan. Give thanks to the Lord, for he chose to save my life on February 19th, after being hit by a car going 30 miles per hour as I crossed the road on my bicycle. I endured a traumatic head injury, many broken bones, received many transfusions, had a pulmonary embolism, and received 2 surgeries. I am a walking miracle. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever.
I will give thanks to the Lord. I will praise Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He has always given me all that I need and more. When I needed a job, he provided. When I needed direction, he led me. When I fell off the ladder, he saved me. When a car ran me down, he protected me. When I jumped off a moving train, he spared me. When I was sick, he healed me. When my heart was broken, he sustained me. He let me know his love. He gave me back my joy. I will spread his praise wherever I go and enjoy his presence forever. Give thanks to the Lord for his love and
to rest.